1 Corinthians 2:14 through 15. But a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one.
Good morning. Well, I'm glad to see you here. I didn't know how many we'd have here today due to the weather and whatnot. Did it snow at y'all's place? Yeah. Just a dusting? Just a little dusting? Yeah. Yeah, we got a little snow at our place. My family is up. My son and wife and granddaughter are up with us now because they were supposed to get about 20 inches of snow down at their place. So they said, you know, there's a good chance that we're not going to have any power. And so they said, well, come on up. And so they did. And they had to bring their dog. Yeah. And I've learned something. I want y'all to know this. I've learned something. Their dog and our two dogs do not get along. Okay? We knew that. And so we've tried real hard to keep them apart. You know, we'd let our dogs out in the yard for a while and they'd run and play in the snow. And then we'd bring them in and put them in a room. And then we'd let their dog out for a while and he'd run and play in the snow. And so we tried to keep them apart. And then it happened. My daughter-in-law did not get the back door shut well. And so we had our dogs inside, and their dog was outside, and their dog decided it was time to come in, and so he hit the door with his head, and the door flew open. And I was the only one in the front room of the house. And I learned that one person cannot keep three 100-pound dogs off of each other. They started. And it was quick. And I started hollering and no. I'd pull one off and here come another one. I'd pull that one off, and here come another one. And finally, after about 30 minutes, actually it was about 15 seconds, actually, I think it was what it was. But it felt like 30 minutes, my wife and my daughter-in-law came running up, and each one grabbed a dog, and we kept them off each other. Well, that's a good experience for all of us to know, that we cannot keep 300 pounds worth of dogs off of each other. That is a good experience. Also, I learned that if my wife ever wanted me to do something, that she should start to do it first. I did not want to shovel the snow off the driveway. So my wife went out and decided that it was time for her to shovel the snow off of the driveway. And so you can't let that go. You just can't. And so I had to go out and shovel the snow off the driveway because she started and I said, no, stop, stop, stop. And I said, please stop, please stop. And she wouldn't stop. And so finally, I shoveled the snow off the driveway, and our next-door neighbor, actually it was the neighbor behind you, pulled into the driveway of our next-door neighbor, and she couldn't get her car out because it was down in the snow. And so I ended up shoveling the snow off that driveway, too. My son did come and help us, or help me shovel the snow. And then he asked me, as we were shoveling our next-door neighbor's snow off of her driveway, He asked me, he said, Dad, are we going to do this for everybody's driveway? And I said, no, we're not, John. And I said, no. I said, I don't intend to do it for anybody else's other than just these two. And he said, well, good, because I was just going to give it to you if you were going to do any more. And then I said, well, I would go down the street there and knock on the door and say, I'll take $50 if I can shovel the snow off your driveway. He said, you know, I might do it for that. Yeah. Snow is fun. I like the snow. Do y'all like the snow? I like a little extra snow, especially the fact that I enjoyed being able to sit at home in the house by the fire and not do nothing. That was a good time to be able to just sit and not have to do anything. And like I said, yesterday I got kind of bored, so I did go out and shovel all the snow because my wife guilted me into it. But our driveway's clear, and here we are. So that's a good thing. Now, today, I want to talk about something kind of interesting. Because what I want to talk about is a spiritual person. Is how to be a spiritual person. And I want you to know that a lot of people are counted as being spiritual, but they're really not. Okay? They're really not. And so, this lesson goes along with a lot of the lessons that we've already heard, that we've already been talking about over the last few weeks. And it's basically dealing with how do we become closer to God? How do we reach out to our communities better? How do we bring people in? And it may be shoveling snow off the driveway. But what do you do to bring people in so that they may hear the Word of God? And so, what I want to look at today is specifically what a spiritual person does. Okay? And I've got several little points to make about we who desire to be spiritual. First point I want to make is a statement. And this statement is this: not all that the world deems to be spiritual is of God. Okay? Not all that the world deems to be spiritual is of God. And I want to bring up something that Rick brought up just a minute ago. When they say that they only do the Lord's Supper once a year, or they do it twice a year, or they do it once a quarter, and they think that's enough. And that to them is being spiritual once a year. Once a quarter. Twice a year. When in fact, it is not being spiritual at all. Because like Rick said, if you only tell your wife one time a year that you love her, you're not going to spend 49 years with her. That's not going to happen. So the key is, what is true spirituality, even though the world deems it as being spiritual? Now, one of the things that always kind of gets my attention is this. When you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's or wherever, and the person on the other side says these words, "Have a blessed day." Now, I want you to know that sounds spiritual. But that doesn't mean that that person is spiritual. You see that? That doesn't mean that they're not. But what it doesn't mean is that they are. There is a difference. And so, when somebody says, "Well, I read my Bible," Well, great. I'm glad you do. But is that being spiritual? Not necessarily. I've had people tell me, and I don't want to denounce this or say anything bad about it necessarily, but I want you to know that it's not that way that makes this spiritual. I've had people tell me, they said, I read through my Bible 3 times a year. Great. What do you get from it when you read through it? Just because you're reading it, that doesn't make it spirituality. That doesn't make it spiritual. But learning from it, studying it, that's where the difference is. So realize, just because you read through it 3 times a year, that doesn't make you a spiritual person. But what did you get from it? What did you learn from it? What do you understand differently now that you read through it that you didn't understand before? Learning God's Word is a spiritual thing. Reading through God's Word is not. I had students in school, and I'd ask them, you know, we'd have a test over a chapter, and I'd ask them and say, well, did you read the chapter? Yeah, I read it. Well, what'd you get from it? Well, I read it. Okay? I didn't learn anything from it. It takes more than just doing something like that to make you a spiritual person. James talks about it best in James chapter 2, where he says, you say to me that you believe in God, that you believe in Jesus Christ. And that's good. But show me your faith. Show me your belief. Do it by your actions. That's what makes you spiritual. Remember what James says. Even the demons believe. And folks, there's not one demon that's going to be in heaven. Not one. But those who act on their faith, who do, those are the ones. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, 22, and 23. Jesus says, not all those who say unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. Those are the ones that are going to heaven. Not those who merely say it, but those who do it. This is spirituality. And so one of the things that we need to realize is that everything that's out there doesn't make it spiritual. Just because the world does it, or the world says it, that doesn't make it spiritual. I was told this week, and this really bothered me. It goes along with the idea of only taking the Lord's Supper once or twice a year. But I was told this week that there's a congregation not too far from here that does so much during their worship service. You were there, you heard it. They do so much during the worship service, they don't have time to pray. Yeah, y'all are laughing. Can you imagine? They don't have time to pray. So they do all these things they consider to be spiritual, but they don't take the time, even during their worship service, to pray to God. Folks, what kind of relationship would you have with your Father if you never talked to Him? You're exactly right. What kind of relationship would you have with your mother if you never talked to her? What kind of relationship would you have with your children if you never talked to them? And you know what? My son and my daughter-in-law probably get irritated at us because Kathy or I or both of us pretty well contact them every day. And they're probably sitting there saying, would you quit calling us? Hey, that's what good cell phones are for. Because we don't have to pay long distance bills. Y'all remember those? We used to have those. Yeah. Call them every day. Talk to them every day. You know what? That builds your relationship. God wants us to talk to Him every day, does He not? God wants us to talk to Him every minute of every day. Realize if we don't do that, then we don't have a relationship. And therefore, there's no way that you can be spiritual without contacting God. It just doesn't happen. Now, let's take a look at some of this. I want to look very specifically at traits of a spiritual person. Number one trait is in Matthew 7:21 that I just brought up. Matthew 7:21 tells us that we must do the will of God. Now, folks, I want you to know something. People who read the Bible, and the Bible says to do something, and you refuse to do it, that's not doing the will of God, is it? If the Bible says that we are to love one another as ourselves, but we don't do it, that's not doing God's will, is it? If the Bible says to us that we are to forgive others their trespasses just as God has forgiven us ours, and we don't do it, then that's not doing the will of God, is it? If the Bible teaches us to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and we don't do it, then guess what? We are not doing the will of God. If the Bible teaches us that we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we don't do it, then we're not doing the will of God. And it bothers me when people say, oh, you don't have to do that. Well, where do you get that? Because, folks, it's there. It's written. It's highlighted in my Bible. It tells us to do something, then, dadgummit, we need to do it. If it tells us to sing, what do we need to do? We need to sing. If it tells us to pray, what do we need to do? We need to pray. If it tells us to study, and notice there's a difference between studying and reading. If it tells us to study, what should we do? Study. In all these aspects, we are to do these things because it is God's will for us to do it. All these things. There should be no question about it. None. If the Bible tells you to do it, then do it. And I don't know why people question that. It is beyond my understanding. Notice this second one. Hebrews 10:25 tells us this. That we are not to abandon our meeting together. Now notice that doesn't say only Sunday morning, does it? I am actually very excited about what we have started on Wednesday nights. Wasn't that good? We have a class, my class, starts at 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. And then we break for our midweek manna. And then those who didn't come to the class at 4 o'clock, we have it again at 6:30. It is there for everybody. And I want you to know something, that when the elders came to me and asked me to do that, I'm going, oh, no. That's something else. That's more. But we had 26 people there. And I made the comment with that group at 4 o'clock. I said, if we keep having this number, we'll keep doing it. We're going to keep on. You know why? Because it's feeding our congregation. It's doing what God wants us to do. And we're coming together. We're taking care of those who have problems driving at night. That takes care of the issue. And not only that, if you want to stay afterwards, we have two other adult classes that people can go to. PJ has an adult class. Gina Williams has an adult class for the ladies. PJ for the men. You have two other adult classes that you can go to. So you can go to my class at 4 o'clock. You can go eat at 5:30. And then you can go to PJ's class or Gina Williams' class at 6:30. Or you can come back in here for a second dose of this. Yeah. Folks, it was great. It was great. And we're going to keep doing it. So one of the things about this is that this message in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 doesn't just tell us just to come on Sunday morning. Now it doesn't. Does it say that? Remember what they did in Acts chapter 2. They met how many times a week? Daily. Every day. They came together every day. And folks, it is a good time to come together. We had a great time New Year's Eve. People came together. We have a great time every Monday night playing pickleball. But I'm sore right now from shoveling snow, so I don't know how good I'm going to be on Monday night. But I want you to know that we have a good time doing that. We come together, we play, we enjoy each other's company. Folks, I love being with y'all. I can say that plainly. I love seeing you. I love being around you. I love being able to talk to you. I love being with you in the fellowship of my brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no fellowship better. None. So a person who is a spiritual person loves fellowshipping with other Christians. Look at the third one that I have up here. Spiritual people love the opportunity to praise God. We come together for what purpose, Bob? Worship. We praise God. We worship God. We come together for that purpose. And we love doing it. We love doing it. We love doing it with other people. But also, we love doing it at any time. I've told you before that the quickest way, when I was a principal, a high school principal, the quickest way that I cleared out the halls was to go up and down the halls singing. And all the students, it was always funny, all the students would run into their classrooms out of the house as I was coming down the hall singing. Well, I was singing praises most of the time. I was singing hymns most of the time. I loved it. Folks, I want you to know Thursday morning, before the snow came, I was fortunate enough to see the sunrise. I don't know if y'all saw it, but the clouds were just such that when the sun came up, the sun shone underneath the clouds. And it was red and gorgeous. Now, I knew the snow was coming. But I also knew how gorgeous that sunrise was. And you know what I did? I praised God for it. Praise God. In every way, enjoy praising God. Look at this one in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We've said this a million times. I'm going to say it a million more times. This one's easy for us to quote, easy for us to remember. What does it say? Pray without ceasing. Like I said, God wants that contact. God wants us to talk to Him. God wants us to be with Him, to have a relationship with Him. Pray without ceasing. That means that your mind is always on God. Always. Your thoughts are always on what can I do for God. Your thoughts are always in the position that God is with you constantly, 24/7. Jesus tells us this. He says, "Lo, I am with you always," Matthew 28:20. "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." I am with you. To have a heart, a mind, a spirit that is constantly praising God, that's constantly in that relationship with God, you never forget that God is with you. Never. This is a spiritual person. And even when, and I want you to know this, even when temptation comes your way, even when that happens, when people honk at you when you're trying to drive on the ice, even when those things happen, and you are tempted to say or do something that you're not supposed to say or do, when you realize God is with you at all times, man, that helps you overcome that. It really does. And some of you know this feeling. Some of you don't. But that feeling is this. God is with you. God is always there. God will never leave you nor forsake you. So therefore, act like He's sitting next to you because He is. Pray without ceasing. Have that type of relationship. Look at this one in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. A spiritual person will serve other people. Even if they don't pay you $50. Spiritual person will serve other people. Will help other people in their time of need. I'm so grateful Don Johnson stopped by yesterday just to check on us. Just to make sure we had everything we needed. He said, "I'm going into town today. Do y'all need me to pick you up anything to bring it back to you?" Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Isn't that great? Folks, that's just serving other people. That's just helping other people. He didn't have to do that. But he did. Folks, did you call your neighbors and check on them, make sure they were okay? Did you go knock on their door, make sure they're all right, make sure if they needed anything? Folks, that's serving other people. And if you really want to bring somebody to worship service with you, why don't you start this way? Start by serving them and helping them out. Build that relationship before you ever invite them to come to a worship service with you. Start by being a friend first. Build that relationship. And it's amazing how many people will come with you then. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it tells us this, that there are people out there who do a lot of what they consider to be spiritual things. They go to their services and they sing and they clap and they do whatever it is that they do. And a lot of times they'll leave and they'll say, "Wasn't that a great worship service?" But the problem is that their hearts are not with God. They do a lot of spiritual things. Things that the world would consider to be spiritual. But the fact of the matter is that they are not spiritual at all. Because their heart's really not in it. And they may leave their worship service that they have and they may say, "Man, wasn't that a great worship service?" They may leave that worship service and they may walk out that door feeling really good, and then by the time they get in their car and get to the restaurant for lunch and they have to wait in line because their preacher went too long and they ran out of white meat fried chicken. Folks, I'm going to tell you, they lose their spirituality. They lose their connection with God. Because they really didn't have it in the first place. Because their hearts are far from God. Now I want you to look at this. Here's the list that I have for a spiritual person. Number one, to be obedient to God. God says, do it, do it. No question, no argument. God says to do it, do it. Second, we enjoy coming together. We enjoy our fellowship together. We enjoy being with other Christians. We enjoy the influence that we have on them and the influence that they have on us. We enjoy those things. Third, we enjoy praising God. It is good to praise God. It is good to sing songs of praises. It's good to lift up our voice in prayer. It is good to remember that great sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave for us. All these things are part of praising God. And we enjoy coming together to do it. We enjoy having time with God. And we can be just as Jesus said, we can go in our closet and shut the door and spend time alone with Him. Have you done that? Have you put your phone down? Have you turned off your TV and spent time alone with God? People who are spiritual enjoy that time with God. And they know that God is always with them. And then the last one that I've got up there is that spiritual people serve people. That's the second greatest command, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. That is a spiritual person. Now, bottom line, I love my bottom lines. Bottom line is this. What do all those things have in common? To be a spiritual person, here it is. Put God first in everything you do, in every step you take, in every person you speak to, in your work, in your school, in your marriage relationship, with your children, with your grandchildren, everyone you come in contact with. Make sure that God is your number one priority. Make sure that God is first. And if you make sure God is first in your life, then all these other things up there on the board just fall in place. So my last question for you is this. Are you a spiritual person? Or are you putting something before God? Your job, your family, whatever it is, you're not putting God first. And if there's something out there in this world that you're putting before God, you need to get rid of it. Because remember the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. The first and greatest commandment. But also remember this commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God must be first. If He is first, then you are a spiritual person. If He's not, make it so. Put Him first. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want to give you that opportunity to come this morning. But also remember this, God is first in everything that we do. And I thank you so much for all of you who help me often to remember that. God is first. Let us stand and sing our song of encouragement.